time in Charlotte, and I cannot believe it's my first time in Charlotte. You don't get introductions like that anywhere else in the country, and everywhere else in the country, this is dressed up, except in the South. I forgot. I'm underdressed, so please forgive me. I am really, really, really encouraged by the chapter, the church, the leadership, the city that you have. You are in a special place. And I pray that our words and our time in the Word today will be helpful to you to both appreciate who you are and whose you are. And it is a joy. Deb is normally going to be up here with me. She is sick. She has been such a trooper. Even before we flew down, if you have kids, those little incubators just make you, they hold germs and then you get whatever they got. So our youngest gave Deb a cold right before we got on the plane. And we left, it was 11 degrees when we left DIA. We landed, it was 72 degrees. I'm like, wow! They've been hiding this secret from everybody. And then I came in this morning, I was like, oh, this feels like home. So thank you for your hospitality to turn down the heat for us. It was really helpful. You know, when you're in the kingdom, you're never more than 2 degrees of separation from so many people. Dave and Jen Cunningham came up. I'm like, I forgot you guys were here. So good to see them. And I don't know if you know the story, but we have a thriving fellowship in Salt Lake City. And it comes down to Dave and Jen, who stood in the gap. I'll let them tell the story. But without a crucial decision on their part to say no, we will not dissolve as a church. We will lead it. We'll stand up. We would not have a fellowship in Salt Lake City. So Dave and Jen are amazing heroes. I see Gabby Murillo. So Gabby, like a sweet daughter to us. We're some of our best friends in a discipling partnership with her parents. So we shuttled some love and Thanksgiving stuff for you. And your back, I guess it's Valentine's, love and Valentine's. So we love you. We're so grateful that you hear the Kessels. I've not met, so Christina Kessel, who's now Christina Campbell. Thank you. I know it's still a bitter pill. But she and Brian have been an incredible blessing to the Denver Church, and the Denver Church is one of the most thriving campus ministries, certainly in our country and in our whole fellowship, and it's under Christina's direction, love, or faith. She's amazing. So the Kessels, I don't think I've met you, but where are you? There they are. Thank you. I guess we met at the wedding, but thank you, and you have an incredible daughter, incredible family. So it is great to be in Luke chapter 10 is where we're going to get going, and before we arrive there, I'm going to share a few things about Hope Worldwide, and I'm gonna move a little bit quickly. As was said, Deb and I are here on behalf of Hope initially, but have had the opportunity to connect with the leadership, and it has been a fantastic weekend. But I oversee church relations, and Deb oversees our chapters, and the Charlotte chapter has one of the top 10 chapters. There are 117 in the country, so it's not like you're 10th of 12. You are 10th of, or in the top 10. How do we measure that? First, by church participation. Your engagement, like at the blood drive yesterday, is crucial. And this is a fully engaged, participatory church that's making a difference in the community. Secondly, your impact on the community. That you're not just doing a few little things, but under the leadership of the Danes, this chapter is really moving into powerful, sustainable change in this community. The question that we're asking all of the churches is, if your church, if your chapter, if you as a Christian serving your community left, would the community know? And most are on a trajectory up to say, yes, we're having such an impact in our community. I would say the Charlotte Church is there. You are having that impact on your community. And so kudos to you. And certainly your Hope Board and Mike and Ann, it's been said before, but man, these are kingdom treasures. You have the right people doing on every level. There are not too many people who could speak as eloquently and powerfully and respectfully to the mayor as they could to a drug dealer and everyone in between. And Mike and Dane, you are gifted. You are awesome. Thank you for putting all of your considerable talents towards Hope. We honor you, and it is a joy to work with you. Let me catch you up a little bit on what's going on. Hope. Hope Worldwide is a, and so I'm going to try to look over here. Oh, there you go. There's my little computer. So I'm 50 years old, and that's the little screen that I'm going to be seeing what's up here. So if I say something, they're like, that's not matching. It's my eyesight. There we go. There's the little moving lyric there. Oh, there we go. So, Hope Worldwide, for those of you uninitiated, or maybe you've heard the term a while, Hope is a nonprofit that serves the poor and the needy around the world. But Hope was started by our fellowship. And Hope and the church have had some times of which we were maybe a little more separated or communicated separated. That is not the case. Over the last 3 years, under the, Robert Carrillo, he's our new CEO, Hope and the church are one. We are married. We are working together. It isn't us and them, it's us. So when I say we are doing some stuff around the world, I don't mean just Hope Worldwide. I mean you are having an impact around the world. And you don't need to get on an airplane, of course, to see poverty and see difficulty, but your prayers, your financial support, your participation, your connections, even in the community, all of them make a difference, not just locally, but worldwide. And that is in our title, Hope Worldwide. We are in 13 different programs in 70 different countries that are operating around the world and having an incredible impact. There are 40 different Hope Worldwides, all disciples, all part of our church, but for different reasons of funding and sometimes working with our governments, they have to incorporate under their government. So we have 40 different Hope Worldwides around the world. Every single one of them, if you get a chance to visit, and I'm encourage you, we'll talk about some programs in a second, are having an impact and would welcome you in, and you would be, and I say on behalf of all of them, please come to see us around the world. In, I think that's Africa, we have a number of programs, early childhood development being one of them, that I didn't have a slide up here, but CNN and Walmart are working very closely with Hope Worldwide in South Africa and in Indonesia. In South Africa, we're on billboards all over the country, working with Walmart in our early childhood development program, that which is really taking note across the continent. In Indonesia, CNN has us listed as a charity of choice for disasters and disaster response. So making big connections around the world. In Bolivia, we have two clinics, one that for those that can pay, those one for those that cannot, and the ones that can pay for their care, those profits go into the free clinic. So it's a real circular model of sustainability in Bolivia. Another picture of Bolivia there. I don't know what that is. In Cambodia, we have two hospitals and three clinics that are revolutionizing the healthcare system in Cambodia. In 1979, the Pol Pot regime was finally deposed, and there were, by some accounts, only four doctors in the whole country of Cambodia after that genocide. Very soon after, Hope Worldwide started our hospital, and that hospital, one arm of it was training nurses, doctors, medical professionals to serve. And in the ensuing years that we have been in Cambodia, we have been one of the underpinnings of their entire healthcare system in Cambodia. And we've trained some several thousand healthcare workers who are engaged all around the country. And so their healthcare country is up and running, but your hope, your prayer, I don't know if any one of us have lived or served in Cambodia, it has made an incredible difference in that country. And so we're still operating there. I want to show you this video because I think it captures, it was created by the UN, but it captures the work that we are called to do.
Have you ever faced an impossible choice? Like having to choose between medicine or food for your family? Deciding which road to school is least likely to be bombed? which one of your children to give the only life vest to. Millions of people are faced with impossible choices like these every day. We're in the midst of one of the greatest humanitarian crises of our lifetime. We are witnessing human suffering unlike any we've seen before. Every day, we receive more news, more facts.
اهم شيء عندي بالحياه اني عائلتي ابني وزوجي نريد نعيش مكان امن
together. This is our chance to act and put humanity first. We all have a role to play. Let us commit to resolve conflict through dialogue and reconciliation rather than violence and revenge. To end hunger for those in need. To secure civilian safety from bombs and landmines. To ensure displaced children receive an education. And that the most vulnerable in crisis receive care. This is our shared humanity. We are one humanity. Now is the time to take action.
That video was put together by the UN. And Hope Worldwide has a very valuable relationship with the UN. We hold what's called consultative status. And the UN has committed to a program of, by 2030, I believe, totally eradicating poverty, homelessness, and major ills that have faced us and plagued us as a nation, as a country, as a world, as human beings. And they believe, as we believe, that on this planet there is enough water, there is enough space, there is enough food for everybody. And it's not right that so many go without. And that is not just a UN concern. That has been way before the UN started, the church's concern. Our brothers and sisters in the early century cared, saw the needs around them. If you know your church history, the church is who started hospitals. It was our brothers and sisters who took the disenfranchised off of the streets into their own homes. It was the church that started universities. Determined that everybody has the fingerprint of God and has efficacy and should be trained. That is still our concern. So as a fellowship, as a people of God, we need to care. And that doesn't mean that you individually can fix poverty, can fix homelessness, can fix, you can't, but you can do a little bit. And together, we can make a difference. There's a conference that we'll be holding in San Diego. I want to encourage everyone to come. And I say this conference because in the past, it was the Hope Worldwide Summit. And we changed the name literally to conference to be sure to invite everyone. And we'll be talking more about training and connections in the world and what we're happening. And so if you can make it to sunny San Diego, I wish we were having this conference in August, then you would all be more driven out to come and escape the heat, but it'll be beautiful here, it'll be beautiful there. And if this is an opportunity and invitation for everybody. Hope is helping us around the world prepare for the Matthew 25 conversation that we will all have. And so when I speak and we see a video like that, and maybe the Holy Spirit's put it on your heart, I should do something more. We will all be asked about that something more by God. Matthew 25 says that every human being will stand before God, and there will be a division to his left and to his right. When you went past that person on the street corner, did you look at them? You don't have to give money to everybody. Do you care? Do you see the human beings around you? As Mike said, a smile. Showing up and helping distribute food. Creating a relationship and opportunity. God says, when you do those things, you did this for me. And that's going to be a part of what we are engaged in now, preparing for that conversation. Hope has a number of programs. Hope Youth Corps, maybe some of you have seen Volunteer Corps. There's so many ways to join and participate. I'd really encourage you to look. Hope is organized into three. I'm going to do just a quick run through of Hope. Organized into kind of three buckets. Disaster response, as I mentioned, is one of them. Our volunteer programs, Hope Youth Corps, Hope Singles Corps, our sort of our chapter work and sustainable programming. Instead of saying, you know, Hope Worldwide does everything, we're trying to really focus on three specific areas and be effective in those. And then our third one here, I went backwards. I want to go backwards. That was a good picture of Deb. So there we go. So this is that again, part of that, our volunteer work, our local chapter work. So we're organized abroad, we are organized for disaster response, and we're organized domestically around our chapters and doing sustainable work in our communities. Again, your chapter here is one of the preeminent chapters in the country, and I hope you guys know and appreciate what you guys have. It's awesome. For the five of us who care, what happens to the money? I'm going to run through this really quickly. So this is the moment where you can shift a little bit. But this is important because this question does come up periodically. The International Day of Giving, our fellowship of churches, the International Churches of Christ, give some churches monthly, some once a year, to the unrestricted support of Hope Worldwide. What happens to that money? In 2017, the churches collectively gave, what's that, $1.6 million? Is that what it says? In addition to that gift, there are corporations and individuals that give a substantial major donors. We have revenue-generating programs, like I mentioned, in Bolivia. On top of that work and those gifts, we organize and administrate and collect non-cash gifts. So organizations that may donate a CAT scan or a bunch of extra gauze or that sort of thing. And so we have to account for those in goods and services. And so in 2017, that was about $12.5 million. Is that right, the number? So all together, Hope Worldwide collected we saw in revenue and expenses $22 million that went to the poor and the needy. So I go back to your individual gift, which is the very left, that little seed money. That $1 that you give to Hope Worldwide, because of our work and relationships, turns into $14 that goes to the goods and services of poor and the needy. And so you could send $10 to Haiti. Amen. That'd be fantastic. Or if you sent that $10 to Hope, that $10 turns into $140 that gets down to work like Haiti and all around the world. So I really encourage you and thank you in advance for your financial support. We are really working very diligently, excellently. We just had 100% transparency rating from Charity Navigator. We're very proud of that. And as disciples, we are taking every cent seriously, as it's God's, not ours. And so thank you for your support. If you have a cell phone and you're technically advanced, you can quickly pull it out and text to this number. That will put you into it's a database, we don't sell it, but you can get updates and you'll be connected to different programs, videos. The video I just showed and others are on, I hope you, so I'll leave this up here if you have one of those phones. If you can, your flip phone, I see Rodney has a flip phone out, that's sweet. He can quickly do that. But we'll be sure that that this number, and again at Hope, we're trying to communicate not just to the churches, that's very important, but to you, to the brothers and sisters, and create two-way communication back and forth. So I'll leave that up there quickly. Luke chapter 10 is where we're going. And so I'll leave this up for about 30 seconds. Verse 25. The story of the Good Samaritan. Love this story. And it's a story that we know well. And I want to make application because it speaks to us here. And let me say this. One of my things that I love about being a guest speaker is I don't know you, many of you at all. That's not the thing I don't love. But if something comes out, I'm looking forward to getting to know it. But if something comes out of my mouth that strikes you, that hits you, that's not me speaking. That's the Holy Spirit. And so there really is an opportunity for you to know the Spirit is speaking. The Spirit speaks every week. But particularly now. I don't know what you did last night. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know why you're here. I don't know where you are spiritually. You're all good looking. I can tell that from here. But let's listen to what the Spirit has to say. On one occasion, an expert in the law, an attorney, a lawyer, stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, what is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, this is the attorney, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied, do this and you will live. Now, this was a very common response and an interesting response that every Jewish person in that audience was likely 100% Jewish, would have known verbatim that Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy 6. Earlier in his ministry, he was asked by another attorney, what are the two greatest laws? And every Jewish boy and girls memorized from the age they were 6, the Shema. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, we are familiar with the passage that Jesus adds, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's not in the Shema, that's in Leviticus 19. So Jesus just connected those two thoughts. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everyone, And love your neighbor as yourself. That was new. Oh. So for this attorney to have quoted those two things back to Jesus, it's likely that he had heard it before. So when Jesus says, what do you think? Well, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I remember you saying, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus is like, bang, you got it. Go do that. But sometimes we just can't leave well enough alone. I just want to step in to let you know, God, that I know a little bit more. So what exactly do you mean by your neighbor? Like, who is your neighbor? Is it the people physically next to me? Is it the ones that are in my community? Is it everybody? You know, just kind of give me the who exactly. I just want to get a clear list. And I don't know if Jesus was thinking this. I would have been thinking this. Okay. Let's go ahead and go there. There was a Samaritan. There was a man going, and he didn't say a Samaritan, I'll start reading from the Bible. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going by. I'll catch up with my slides here. A priest happened to be going by. This would be me if I were a priest, with my little backpack and nice smile there. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And we saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, a fellow attorney, one like you who we're having this conversation with, he came to the same place, and when he passed by on the other side, and he passed by on the side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, and he gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. You know, we read that today, and the word Samaritan, Levite, just kind of brush over and go, oh, that's a pretty good little parable. If Jesus were to retell that today, there would be a man who'd gotten mugged in a very poor place, in a bad place, and you know, we all have that community in our towns. And there's an evangelist going past, but he's on his way to a meeting. And he doesn't know if this guy is actually a victim, or maybe he's just bait for the other gang to come out and grab him. You don't know, so he goes to the other side and keeps moving. A Levite, one versed in the law, an attorney, an elder, is going past. He too has a lot of important things to do. And this would derail, cause me to be late, whatever the motivation, keep it moving. But an Al-Qaeda operative, or a Klansman, he stopped. He picked up this guy. He took him to the hospital. He left his credit card. He said, whatever his expenses are, you put those credit card, you put those expenses on me. Now, which of these three was the neighbor? That's the question. And just like I said, Klansmen, so did Samaritan hit their ears. This is someone who espouses a faith different than ours, who espouses an unjust, an angry, a violent theology. Someone who, if you press, I do not think is going to heaven. And I know theologically everyone can be saved, but are Klansmen really going to heaven? Which one is your neighbor? Jesus deliberately used Samaritan, as I deliberately use Klansmen, not to support either, but to say acts of service matter. To challenge us not to hide behind our schedules, our race, our histories, our pain. You have become, if you're a disciple of Jesus, a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. You do have to deal with those things. But you can serve. You should serve. You should meet the needs you can around you in the midst of your transformation. Which of these three, Levite, was my neighbor? And I believe there was a similar pause. Go and do likewise. This is a picture that I took from my iPhone in 2017. This is in Louisiana. And there was a flooding event, and I was down with the leader of the church in Baton Rouge, and we were doing an assessment of the area. And I noticed, as we were in the front seat, African-American brother, I said, whoa, what's up with all the Confederate flags? He said, oh, this is Denham Springs, where we'll be working. I'm like, uh-huh. This is the currently largest concentration of Klan in the country. I'm like, really? And where are we working? We're assessing. And this is a picture, a modern day parable being played out. This is a picture of that event. And there was a thing called the Cajun Navy. Some of you may have heard of it. Cajun Navy isn't actually an organization. It's just everyone who had a boat and could get back and forth to help their neighbors who didn't have a boat. And I don't know, I didn't meet any of these people, but you may notice two white gentlemen and three black ladies. If this is in Denham Springs, the odds are that these guys think some very different things than these ladies. Who is your neighbor? Who is doing the right thing? Who is putting aside whatever, because life and death and human beings matter? Go and do likewise. That's the message. Try and get this up on my little, there it is. That's the message of today. Go and do likewise. You have a neighbor. Who's my neighbor, Wade? You know. There is someone in your community who needs a smile. Do you know your neighbors, your physical neighbors? When is the last time you went next door? When is the last time next door was in your house? For some of us, it's been recent. For some, we don't even know. Many of us came out of the garage today, shut the garage door, came to church, worship. We'll go back in, garage door up, in, out. Go and do likewise. Your life matters. Your actions matter. You are important. You are significant. And you are the answer to someone's prayer. You are the plan and part of the agency of someone becoming a Christian. Or you may just be the answer and prayer to someone having a little bit more ease on this planet. You're significant. You're powerful. You're important. You're loving. You're awesome. And let us take what God has given us and go and do likewise. Thank you for your time and attention.